A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just me at the top of the show to let you know about the live stream that's happening this Saturday. It is the final one of the six. These six have been so much fun. So it's August 1st, 4:30. Watch it live. Go to joshearl.com.au for the tickets. They will stay up for a week. You can watch it. I think they go up about 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock maybe the day of. If you miss it live, you can just have to wait a few hours before we edit out some stuff. But watch it live, especially if you're in Melbourne. What else are you doing in Victoria? Just stay home and watch my show. So go to joshearl.com.au for tickets. You still can get a season pass if you only want to watch this one and then go, oh, actually, that was really good. You can go back and watch all six of them. They're very, very funny. Last week's one, probably the best one of the run. So that's like, I've done 9 so far. That was, so funny. So the lineup, I should point out, this week, Will Anderson, very exciting. Gareth Reynolds from The Dollop, very exciting. Steph Tisdale doing it for the first time ever, so I'm very, very excited about because I did some roadshow with her and she's so much fun. And I just had someone pull out. So watch this space. It's going to be fun. Also, for the Patreon people, thank you so much for your support, especially in this time. Much, much appreciated. Hopefully you enjoyed all the top fives that have been going up. I did one just last week with Catherine Allen about our top five Spice Girls members. So we put all five in order. And it's very good, very controversial opinions. And I could tell that Catherine was wanting to like argue with me a lot, which is great, which is what I want. It's what I want for that show. So if you want to be a Patreon subscriber, you get free writing every week and also a brand new episode of Top 5 every single Monday. Head over to patreon.com/dykwia and help support not just the podcast, but also me. And I think that's all I need to say. Enjoy this episode recorded in my office. So if the sound is a bit different, it's because the podcast studio was booked, but I think it sounds fine. I think it's going to sound lovely. Enjoy this episode. And I'll see you on Saturday. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl. And this week, let's get straight into it. Joining me are four very, very funny people. Let's meet them now. Our first guest shares his name with a Melbourne life coach. Can you please welcome back to the podcast, it's Dave O'Neill.
Yay! Hey, yeah. I've got good advice.
Do you know about this guy? He goes by David.
I don't know David O'Neill, the life coach. I'd like to meet him.
Well, I've got 8 friends in common on Facebook with him.
Oh, wow.
And I think you do, because you'd be friends with Wendy Hargraves, I reckon, on Facebook.
Yes, the journalist.
She's a friend of his. So
okay.
There you go.
Right. Okay, I'm going to look him up.
You can meet him. He can be your life coach.
Cool.
Speaking of coaching, our next guest shares his name with a dating coach on the website Easy Dating. Can you please welcome back? It's Mike Goldstein.
Hey. Easy Dating.
Easy Dating, spelled EZ, as in like EZE.
Oh, shit. Like, that's cool, man. Yeah. You just nag chicks and it's easy, you know? Especially when you got a mustache like I do.
Yeah, we should, to the listener, Goldstein has a very nice mustache.
It's a shitty lockdown stash, and my partner hates it. So, you know.
Win-win. Yeah.
Also joining us is a man who, when you type his name into Google, the very first autocomplete is he married? Can you please welcome the very unmarried Duruk Jaya Singer? Yeah.
Hello.
Ladies.
Hello. First thing I've got to say is Dave O'Neill as a life coach. That I have to say he is genuinely a good life coach because when I started doing comedy, I used to go to the workshop at the Comics Lounge and Dave was one of the first workshop leaders. No, it's true. Dave said, look, thanks for coming. Look, I've got a bunch of things that I think is really good advice. And, you know, it's up to you to listen to it. But before I give you any of my advice, just remember that I'm the bloke who nearly talked Eric Banner out of doing Chopper. Yeah. So it's up to yes. you to decide if you want to listen to me or not. And no
true
one
story.
Else, yeah, it's so true. Like, you know, everyone's got pieces of advice, but how much of that is actually going to be necessarily suitable to you?
Exactly. And he could have chosen to do another season of, what was that show he was on the ABC? I can't remember what it was called. It was like a 6:30 drama. He could have done that instead of Chopper, which I thought was a better move. But anyway.
And then Dave pulled me aside and said, I said, any advice? He said, make sure you wobble your head more. I said, all right, thank you, buddy.
I didn't say that.
And finally is a man whose Google autocomplete also asks, is he married? But not before it asks wife, age, and Wikipedia. Can you please welcome, it's Adam Rosenbach. Yeah.
Oh, thank
Yay,
you.
Yay, Rosie.
Thanks for having me. Dave, I imagine your life advice would just be don't do this.
Yeah.
Don't eat twisties for breakfast. Don't do a BMX jump.
For a radio stunt where no one can see you and break your leg. Exactly. All that stuff.
You already look like the after photo, so it's...
I wonder how many people have to Google married or wife before it becomes like an auto drop down.
Yeah, someone was saying to me that like that's based on my history of Googling stuff, but I'm never Googling is anyone married, anyone got kids and stuff like that.
Right. Or height's
the other one as well. Height is always comes up, and if you're a female comic, it's feet. Feet is a big mover in the game. Yeah.
Well, see, I was Googling myself the other day, and by the other day, I mean every day, and I came across this, I forget what the name of the website is, but they give you a breakdown of what they think the person's earning, their height, and things like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah, and so apparently I've got $1 million stashed away, and I have a wife that I have not come out publicly about.
I'm on the site networth.org or .net, whatever it is, and apparently I'm valued at about $5 to $10 million. So that's good.
Ooh, fuck, that's great. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
That's that podcast money.
2017, 2018, it was 1 million. And then 2018, 2019, 5 to 10 million. Jumped up. Had a big year.
Well, this is well bad done. For your Patreon supporters, because they'll be like, well, why are we supporting a millionaire?
Yeah.
People pull your money out of Josh's Patreon and join the Phone Hacks Patreon now.
One of his Patreon supporters is Jeff Bezos, so he's doing really well.
All right, our first game today is called Social Media. Well, I'll read out a status update by the four of you. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get right, a point to the person who actually wrote it. If you're incorrect, you're all in play. Your name's your buzzers. Can't buzz in for your own ones. Here we go. So who wrote this one? Telling someone they're punching above their weight in their relationship is the nicest way of saying you're ugly and I want to sleep with your partner.
Adam.
Yes, Adam.
That's got Goldstein written all over
it. You are correct. Now,
because he knows he's punching above his weight. He wants to get it out there and feel better about himself.
Yeah. Or as it's known in the industry, the Husey factor.
Yeah.
It's
but Husey has money. That's just a money factor, right?
And you fame.
Well, this was part of my easy dating advice as well.
Yeah, cool.
When easy dating came up, the only person I could think of was Eazy-E. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure dating didn't end well for him. So maybe consider a rebrand.
But I realized doing this as well that Adam and Mike have a bit of an advantage on you other two, because their Twitter voices are pretty similar. And they'll know if, well, that's not me, it's going to be the other one. So,
And I genuinely was tossing up between the two of them as to who this could be.
Same here.
Yeah. That's all right. Next question. Wearing a mask over your mouth and not your nose is like putting a condom on your balls.
Dave.
Yes, Dave.
I think that would be Adam.
Yes, you are correct. Your point there for Dave.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good joke. It's a good joke.
We are similar, because I thought that was me for a second.
Are you both engaged to the same attractive woman? Yeah. This is what's going on.
No, I wrote that joke because I was at a glory hole and the guy had his condom on his balls. And I was like,
experience.
I poked my head through. I was like, mate, what are you doing?
Hey, apparently in Canada, glory holes have been considered got the okay for COVID.
Yeah, because you can't breathe through them. Well, you can breathe through them, but you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
We're all taking notes.
The first guy at my high school who had sex put the condom. He wore two condoms and put.
Oh, I thought this was a glory hole story. I was looking forward to this.
No, but he did try and put it over his balls, as well.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
And are you from Tasmania? Is it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Well, have I never mentioned that before?
No, but the first time you ever see a condom, it's a pretty weird sort of situation because, you know, they kind of show it to you in, I think it was year seven for us, but the first time you actually have to do it, it's a whole fucking different ball game.
And the bananas that they test them on don't have any, like, there's no scrotum balls on that, so you don't know. Okay, does it go over the whole thing?
Yeah. Right. So they need to attach two plums to the bottom of the banana.
I was 19, a 19-year-old virgin when I came to Australia, and during all week, there's like so many different, you know, giveaway bags, and they all had condoms in it, and I'm like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen. And then 3 years later, the same one was in my wallet.
Did you have the ring in your wallet? Did it, like, dink your wallet?
Yeah, I thought that was a flex. I was, like, trying to show, like, hey, yeah, I know. I'm a guy who has a ring of a condom in my wallet.
It's not easy to dint a Quicksilver Velcro wallet.
Yes.
Hey, it was from a player from Sri Lanka. Come on.
So, Dil, have you ever had sex in Sri Lanka?
Oh.
Just shorten that sentence to, have you ever had sex?
Look, I'll answer that. I have, yes.
Yes, I have.
Now, you went to a Catholic boys' school, didn't you?
Yeah, without going to specifics. No, I had an ex-girlfriend, or a girlfriend at the time, who I went to travel with to Sri Lanka. There was one time.
All right.
It was a three-week holiday.
Yeah. Still.
Can we talk more about glory holes being COVID safe? Because I want to explore that a little bit. Yeah, at this point, I just put a hand through to try and hold hands on the other side.
You can't do that. You can't do
that. Too small.
Well, who kicks off the glory hole? Like, does someone go down there with a drill bit?
That's
like,
are
you at Bunnings going, mate, I need it about, say, this just slightly wider than penis gauge? Like, is there that gauge?
They're going, what do you want, metric or imperial? What, I don't know, what one?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I measure it in imperial, but, like, I know what metric is. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever smooth out the edges as well? Because you don't want to splinters, like...
you don't want to be first. You want to be 50.
There's duct tape. You gaffer tape it so it's, you know, got that smooth sheen.
Absolutely.
To it.
it feels
like the real thing.
A guy would go down to Bunnings and get his penis out, and the guy will say, as long as you're wearing a mask, that's okay. Yeah. You can have your penis out. That's fine. That's fine.
Someone should see more. Because Scott Cam should do more of that kind of...
renovation.
Yeah, earn his money from the government the proper way.
Just a Karen yelling through the glory hole saying, I know my law. I know the 1948 convention.
Yeah. You owe me $10.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Question three. I wear a mask when I sleep and now a mask during the day. Pretty sure I'm a superhero.
Mike.
Adam.
Yes, Mike Goldstein.
That is Dave O'Neill.
You are correct.
Yeah.
The point there for Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are a superhero. What's your best power, Dave?
Eating a lot. Yeah, because I wear a sleeping mask, so
See, I resent that as a superpower because I reckon I still eat more than you. I just choose to pick
a day.
Well, the number of calories that go in my cheat day, it is pretty disgusting.
What have Dave, I reckon, Dave, if you had a cape, it would be like slightly, it would start off red but end up orange, just covered in twisty dust.
Yes.
And by cape, he means muumuu.
Yeah.
Feel like a towel, hand towel. Yeah.
He's the green goblin.
Do you count your calories, Dil, on a day?
I've actually started. You know what? As of last week, I've started using an app to see what the calories are. So I haven't still had a big cheat day yet to see how it goes down. But it is pretty alarming as someone who never thinks about calories, and when you start to punch it in and you go, oh my God, is that what a tiny tub of ice cream? Like, all your calories are pretty much gone in one ice cream.
Yeah, I've started.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. When you're going, it's just a tiny tub of ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 1.5 litres.
It's an actual tub filled with ice cream.
Yeah, a bathtub.
So I've started counting my steps. And in lockdown, it's just impossible. Like,
hard to do.
Aim is 10,000 steps a day. And there was,
that's hard.
The other day when I worked all day at the project, and I did 500 steps in a day. I'm like, yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a marathon for Dave O'Neill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, question four. Advice to anyone wanting to start stand-up. Find a Facebook group for your city's comedy scene to find out about local gigs, get tips and read threads to see it's mostly the unfunniest people on the planet and you should do something else with your life.
Dave.
I heard Dill first. Yes, Dill.
That's my Goldstein.
That is my Goldstein, yes. Put there for Dill.
And how's the Perth comedy group going, Mike?
Oh, God. That's every goddamn comedy group on the planet. Perth is, they're not in lockdown. They're I feel
they're doing gigs, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're also trapped with their local comics. So,
we'll all keep that to ourselves.
No, that's fine. I don't care.
Wolfie, Pinder, at least they'd have the Perth Fringe. Right?
What's that?
What was that deal?
No, it's Perth.
I was just giving a shout out to Wolfie and Pinder and Tour, saying you and Janelle, they'll be doing fine. They'll be headlining every month. It's great.
Wolfie's very funny. Very funny man.
All right, next question. Fact. If you eat KFC at home while wearing activewear, your body absorbs less of the calories. Stay informed, people. Yes, Mike.
Dill?
Yes, you are correct. That is a Dill Rook jersey. Yes.
Could have been me.
Yeah, I was going to go O'Neill.
I'm sponsored by KFC with my background here, the red and white stripes.
Yeah, that's one of the cheat day things where I was just like, you know what, I'll go for a massive run and then just go crazy. But by the time I've bought all that stuff back home, I'm like, I'm not going to get out of the activewear. I might as well just keep eating.
So how many pieces are we talking? Or a burger? Or
so I sometimes do, I use KFC because it's a bit more, it travels better. But it's actually gammy chicken. I get a whole gammy chicken.
Yeah.
It's a gammy chicken.
Gammy is a
one that can't walk properly.
No, but no, it is a Korean fried chicken chain that I am obsessed with, and it's literally a 3-minute walk from my house, and yet I still get it delivered to me because why waste the calories? But I get a whole chicken of that, and I'll get about 3 croissants, and I'll put the chicken in the croissants.
Oh,
fucking hell, mate!
That's breakfast.
Wow. Mate, did you just... Have you run like 300 kilometres before you tuck into this? Like fucking... Your balance is way off here.
Hey, this is... I'm currently sitting on the lowest I've weighed since I became an adult. So I've... my total weight loss at this point is 40 kilos. So whatever I'm doing seems to be working for me.
Hold on. Does Gammy sell croissants or do you have to go to a second place?
No, it's a second place. Sorry, I should have mentioned.
Oh, my God. You're visiting more than one establishment for a
yeah,
meal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For a cheap meal.
Well, the craziest thing I did was get Macca's or KFC, like Zingers and stuff, and put that in the croissant. So you get rid of the Big Mac bun and you put the meat into a croissant from Loon, and it is heaven. Like, I'm actually tearing in my eyes as I'm saying this. It's so good.
I'm getting recipe ideas from you. This is good.
Butter chicken and croissant. That's another good invention. Ooh.
Yeah. I think the new name of this pod should be Don't You Know Why I'm Fat?
Yeah. Don't You Know How I'm Alive?
Yeah.
Deals, instead of doing a turducken, just a fat fucking. Like, yeah. All right. Next question. Wow. My parents are visiting me at the minute. 2 days in, and Mum just said she's upset she didn't pack a rolling pin.
Adam,
yes.
Dill?
Yes, Adam, and it is Dill. Yes, you are right there, Adam, yes.
What, she wanted to cook, or what was that? A rolling pin?
Yeah, I think it was because she knows I hadn't, before lockdown, I hadn't cooked in 2 years. And she
seriously?
Yeah. I ate out and Uber Eats everything.
Sure, what about like toast and shit like that? Surely you do
Now, the only thing I used to do is put spinach in water and use that in my Nutribullet and get my veggies for the day from that. And that was actually when I started to lose the weight. So at the start of 2018. And it was because I think the listeners of my podcast, Fitbit, shout out, they would get annoyed with me saying, you can't lose weight if you're going to eat out all the time. I'm like, fucking watch me. And then so then it became a thing where I kept posting all the, you know, the cafes and stuff I'd be eating at. And they were getting so annoyed. But yeah, it worked. Definitely not advisable for cholesterol, though, because my cholesterol is... I might have lost fat, but I am dying from my family history of heart disease and not eating too much
bread. But also money as well. It's expensive, I would imagine. Yeah.
But I stopped boozing, and that was such a big part of my drinking, my budget for the week, so I felt like I might as well funnel that into, ham and cheese croissants and stuff.
Wow.
Was the rolling pin just so she could smash the chicken and the croissants for you?
Or hit you over the head with it, maybe. Stop eating this rubbish.
Now, Mum's weapon of choice back in Sri Lanka was a coconut wooden spoon. It was a wooden spoon that she loved to give it a little bit of a knock with.
Yeah, right. I thought you might use a rolling pin. That's a good gauge for a glory hole.
All right, next question. When witnessing the inevitable fight between the masked and the unmasked, please remember to turn your phone sideways and film in landscape.
Mike.
Yes, Mike.
Rosie.
You are correct. Yes, another point there for Mike. Yeah.
So annoying. You've got to turn your camera sideways, people. Like, why was it designed that way? Why was it? Because it's just the way the camera is.
Yeah. It is one of those things. You do get annoyed. This could have been so much better if they actually filmed it.
All the footage of the riots in America, I'm like, this is so sad. It's not filmed in landscape.
I know.
Okay, next question. 4 squares of snack and no pineapple yet. Get fucked. No wonder I'm fat.
Deal.
Yes, deal.
Well, it's either me or Dave, and it's not me. So it's Dave O'Neill.
You are correct.
That's right. And thank God they've brought out the pineapple just in its own bar now. Yeah. So that's good. Good news.
The best.
Good news.
The best of the snack flavors.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the worst is Turkish Delight. We all know that.
No, the worst is coconut. So you're wrong.
Oh, okay. What?
Yeah.
Dave, you have a podcast about snacks at this point, don't you?
With Kim Flanagan.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, call the junkies.
Don't worry, Rosie. We'll get to your podcast soon. Everyone else has plugged theirs before the plugs, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, she loves junk food like me. So I know, and she's not fat, so I don't know what's going on, but she is an absolute expert. Expert.
All right, next question. Victoria, the cruise ship of Australia.
Mike.
Yes, Mike.
Oh, good one.
Rosie.
You are correct. Yes, another point there for Mike. Yeah.
Good joke.
Oh, thanks,
mate. that was Brisbane before, wasn't it? Like it was
No, it was Sydney. It was Sydney.
Sydney
it was always
Ruby Princess.
Yeah,
but comedy wise, like the Brisbane clubs are like cruise ships on land. Like,
yes,
I know,
true.
Yeah. Now we're the Ruby Princess for sure. But yeah. Victorious.
It is really easy for Rosie and Goldstein because not only do they have the same voice, but if the joke is very lean and has no fat on it, then you know it both literally and metaphorically, it's got to be me or Dave.
Yes.
And our last question for this round. Chris Lilley was at the gig I did last night. Totally didn't recognize him in whiteface.
Deal.
Yes, deal.
Goldstein.
Yes, you are correct. A point of the deal. Yes.
Because no Australians would have a go at a revered legend like that.
Well, I mean, I remember sitting in an ABC studio 10 years ago. He was an absolute legend, wasn't he, Adam? Chris Lilley.
Mate, I wrote for him on The Big Bite in the first season. I wrote for The Extreme Darren and Mr. G and all that sort of stuff. And then
remember,
got cast aside.
I remember at the Logies, he did the corroboree thing where he
Oh, fuck, I forgot about
that.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
What is this?
He opened the Logies doing like an Aboriginal corroboree thing, didn't he?
Like Adam? A Mr. G kind of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like a Rocker Stedford sort of thing.
But it was his character, Ricky, the.
From
We Can Be Heroes.
Ricky Bobby. No, Ricky Lee.
He was doing
Ricky Wong.
Ricky Wong, that's right. So he was being a Chinese character pretending to be an indigenous Australian.
Yes.
So what's the problem?
Yeah, I don't see a problem.
So many layers. Yeah.
That's why no one's ever complained about it. They don't know who's supposed to complain.
There's
so much going on. It's like one of Dill's meals. You just don't know where to fucking start.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the first round, the scores are Dave O'Neill on 1 point, Adam Rosenbach's on 2 points, Duruk Jazz Singer on 3 points, and in the lead on 4 points is Mike Goldstein.
What we needed was Dill's mum to come on stage with a coconut spoon and just take him out.
It sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah.
I know. And also stage. I miss that word.
Okay, remember this round stages. Is called With a Little Understanding, You Can Find the Perfect Blend. Now, in this round, we talk about neighbours and those run-ins we've had with them. And today we're meeting Adam Rosenbach's. Well, his neighbours, kind of. Now, the other day when Adam realised that a car had parked over his driveway, how did Adam react? Was it A, Adam went into his house, got out a carton of eggs and egged the car?
Oh.
Was it B, Adam knocked on each of his neighbours' doors to see if it was their cars? It wasn't, so he asked them if they could park their cars super close to this one, so when the guy came back for it, he couldn't actually get out. or was it C, Adam calmly went inside and on four pieces of A4 paper wrote the word cunt and stuck them to the front window of the guy's car?
Oh.
Now, one of these is real. You have to ask him as many questions as you can to try and get the real answer out of it, out of him. But bear in mind, he wants to get it wrong, so he gets your point. The floor is open for questions.
Rosie,
ask away.
Ask away.
What? How did the neighbors react when you asked them to park as close as possible?
Well, they didn't mind it because they had had the same thing happen to them. Like, this person's a serial shit parker, so they were kind of like, "Yep, let's make it happen."
How many neighbors did you talk to? Just the one lot, or
no? There was like three. There's a block of flats next to me, so there's a few, but they've all got the car parks next to it. So there's the houses next to that, and then the other one's like to the left of me as well.
So the third option was the only one where you didn't talk to the neighbours, is that right? Did you talk to the neighbours in the first option?
No, I went inside and grabbed some eggs and egged the cat.
Okay. I don't reckon you'd waste eggs. I don't reckon you're that.
No, okay. No, that seems like a Luke Heggie thing to do.
Yeah.
But the third option, you wrote cunt on four different sheets of paper?
Yeah.
So it's
bigger.
So it's big.
Doing rewrites. Oh, okay. No.
Yeah. Oh, right. So there was a letter on each piece of paper.
Yes. And I put two under one windscreen wiper, two under the other.
You didn't glue it or anything? You just stuck it under there?
Man, I'm not an animal.
Right.
Do you know the person who drives this car at all? Or you got an idea?
No, I don't. If I knew them, I would, if I saw them out in the street, because they do live in the neighbourhood, but they seem to do it all the time. They just have no idea, because I live in a block of apartments, and there's a roller door to our garage, and so for whatever reason, they just think that it's
wall. No one parks there.
The cunt facing inwards or outwards? Because if they got in the car... What's Tanuk?
Well, yeah, was it an innie or an outie?
It was an innie because I didn't want... Because there is a... Dave, you know there's a preschool just up the street.
I mean, hey, the way you said, Dave, you know, it feels a bit...
You're not allowed within 200 metres of it now, Dave, but there is a preschool.
My kids went to their kinder, that's right.
I didn't want those little cunts to see it.
Sorry, go, Dave.
No, I was going to say, is there a chance this person would get in the car, see cunt, and just not realise why someone's done it to them? Like, just goes, oh, that's not very nice.
Every chance, because they've parked there before and they've done it again. So they just clearly just go, what's going on? Like, why would someone do this to me?
Why would they do that?
Inspectors have gotten really personal these days.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Did you workshop what you were going to write or just you cunt from the get-go?
Because it wasn't the first time, I was ready to go.
Is it possible that it's Chris Lilly in a character?
Yeah, his new character, the Ford Fairlane.
Yeah.
Did you Sharpie?
Sharpie. Yeah, I usually use it for autographs, but because we're in lockdown,
yes, yeah,
I don't have any posters and autographs.
From the school, is it?
How many eggs did you use?
I had four left in the fridge, so I unloaded with those.
Oh, right. And that's a lot of eggs.
And windshield or paint job eggs or just on the windshield or everywhere?
Just on the windows because I felt guilty about it because I love my car, so I didn't want the paint to be ruined. So I thought...
It ruins the paint.
Don't be a complete arsehole. Yeah. Okay.
What's the ethics around free range versus cage for egging something? Because you go...
Free range, much better. Bigger splatter. Bigger kill zone.
Okay, right.
Yeah. What about organic? You wouldn't even bother using them. Too expensive.
Too expensive. I am in North Fitzroy. I could have had access to them, but I chose not to.
Dollar
I suppose
egg.
If the car was like a Bentley or something, then you go.
Yeah, exactly. Organic. Yeah. I would have used Fabergé eggs.
And is this all just a way to brag that you have a driveway?
I do it pretty well, my friend.
Well, see, this is what threw me off slightly because... Rosie, I've been to your place a fair bit. Things have been lonely for both of us.
Yeah,
so. But I can't remember seeing a driveway, obviously. So this is throwing
There
me
is
off.
A driveway near but the bus stop. There's a bus stop
near
you too,
isn't there? I don't make a big deal of it when people come over. I don't go, hey, guys, come out and look at the driveway.
That part of the story is real, Dill, just so you know.
But
there
that's
was
what
a car
I mean.
Parked
like,
over there.
All three options means there has to be a driveway. But I'm like, as a guy who doesn't have a driver's license, I don't look for those things.
During the 2018 grand final when you were over, Dill, and yes. Collingwood were getting beaten by West Coast with 2 minutes to go, up by 2 points. I didn't turn it off and go, sorry, guys, I haven't shown you the driveway yet.
Normally the tour goes, here's the driveway, there's a Kinder down the road if you're interested.
And here's Dill's mum's rolling pin.
Yes. With the neighbours, did any of them just flat out refuse? Like, who the fuck are you? Get out of here? Or was it...
No, because everyone kind of knows each other because we're so close-knit. There's cafes nearby, so you're always seeing the same people all the time.
Yeah. Wow.
So
any
they're all pretty tight. They're all kind of young, too.
Any single women amongst these neighbours?
There are single women.
Oh, okay.
I have had relations with the neighbour across the street.
You have had?
I have had, yeah.
Oh, wow. Borrow some sugar from each other.
What
if it's her car?
Before lockdown? Yeah, good question.
Pre-lockdown. Oh, I initially met her at the last house I was at. I was coming into my other driveway and I flew around the corner and had like a head on with her. And that's how we met.
Wow.
Yeah.
Head on. I mean,
exactly.
But here's the thing. I just realized, you know, at this point in Australia with swearing, cunt tends not to be very gendered. It's very much like, you know, to each other. What if it was a woman driving, a woman owner of the car? Does it make it a lot more problematic that you called her a cunt?
No, I'm not sexist. Anyone can be a cunt.
All right.
That's fair.
I'm good like that.
Imagine if that was the only thing on if you were sexist or not.
Yeah.
Can women be cunts? Yes. Oh, you're fast.
Fast.
One more question on the cunt thing. I'm still confused. Was it a letter on each piece of paper?
Yes.
Yes.
And then you put all those pieces of paper on the windshield facing in.
So like two under one windscreen wiper and then two under the next.
And
they're all in order. So it went C-U-N-T. Yeah. So it's
and then afterwards, recycled
down. Would have not been nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see it at Kinders, they do that with letters. I'm sure they recycle them and put them up at the window. Yeah.
When they're spelling out cunt.
Yeah.
Stay away, Dave O'Neill, you.
Yeah. But then facing in, you would have had to do like the mirror image when you wrote it out.
No. Jesus.
Yeah.
No, Michael.
No, you got.
You've clearly never abused someone through their car before.
You got spatial relations issues. Yeah.
All right. What did you learn in Jew school?
Yes. Yeah. What do you think? What do you think, people? Deal. What do you think? A, B, or C?
If I know my friend Adam Rosenbach's, I'm leaning towards the swear words.
Yep.
Because he's a writer, for starters. And also the eggs is nah. I don't think that's. I mean, that one's close, but definitely not the neighbors thing because I don't think his neighbors like him.
Okay, so you're going to say C. All right, Dave O'Neill, what do you think?
I'm tending towards C, but just to be different, I'll actually go B.
You'll go B. Okay.
Yeah.
And all right, Mike Goldstein.
I was B the neighbors.
Yeah,
B
the neighbors. They parked too
close.
A was eggs, B was neighbors. I'll go with O'Neill. I'll go B.
Okay, you go B?
Oh, can I change?
What are you changing it to?
No.
Because I suddenly remembered. I went, hang on, Josh comes up with the alternatives. He would go, what's the best thing that most people will think Rosenbach would do? And that would be right out cunt. So now I'm like, no, that's Josh L. I'm going to go to B.
You're going to go to B as well? Okay.
Well, I'll go C. I'll go C then.
All right, hang on. Oh, I've got to do this.
Oh, shit, sorry. Can I go C? Now I'll go C.
The correct answer is A. You're all wrong anyway.
Oh!
He threw some eggs at the car. 3 points there for Rosie.
So the first time they parked out front, I wrote, you're parked in a driveway, you selfish fuck, and put that under their windscreen. And then when they did it again...
That's a lot
of
pages, H-A-4
And it was pissing down raining and I had to park like miles away from my house. I got inside and then I was so steamed up and it stopped raining. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to egg them. This is not the first time they've done this. And so I went out and just... ping the car with eggs. Fuck, it was a good feeling. Don't get too close. A lot of splashback.
It is very funny though, because when
same problem with glory holes.
When Rosie sent this through to me, when Rosie sent this story through, I said straight away the Heggie method. So, Dill, you also said that.
Yeah.
And then when I sent him the options, he said they're all going to say C. So there you go.
Yeah.
It's all over.
Yeah, exactly.
I made a point not to throw it from my balcony because I would work out the angle of it. So I went down on street level and did it.
Oh, like the you know, the
trajectory
shooting. Yeah.
The JFK. Look, it's going to be an Oliver Stone movie based on it.
Like Dexter.
Like it's come from the kinder. Yeah. So the
yeah, there's a grassy knoll near. There's actually a roundabout near my place. It looks like it's come from there.
At the end of the round, the scores are Dave still on 1 point, Deal still on 3 points, Goldstein still on 4 points, but in the lead now on 5 points, it's Adam Rosenbach's.
Amazing, yes. Amazing. All right. I was, yeah, egg was definitely my no, so there was no chance.
There you go. This round is called In this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you say nah. You can ask them as many questions as you want. Bear in mind, they want you to get it wrong because they get your point. So, here's the first one. To Adam. Now, Mike once met tennis player Samantha Stosur and, as a big tennis fan, was a bit daunted. He asked for a photo and she said yes. And as they both went to put their arms around the other, in the mix-up, Mike accidentally punched her in the face. She understood and she was very cool about it.
Your Honour.
But to anyone watching, it would look like Mike just punched a woman in the head. Yeah or nah?
What year was this photo taken, Mike?
2017.
And at which particular event was it at?
Rod Laver, like indoor courts. So I was playing on the court next to her, and I was playing everyone's good mate Husey, and he knew her from some on her rich
course
people
he did.
Bullshit.
Yeah,
and introduced me to her, and then the most insanely awkward thing happened when we tried to do the photo.
Okay, I'm gonna say nah.
You're gonna say nah?
I am gonna say nah.
You are correct. Yes, that was not a true story, but it was so based on so much truth in that.
I was
much
so
truth.
Off.
Oh, my God, dude, close. I didn't punch her. First of all, have you seen Sam Stosur's arms? You wouldn't
want
to punch her.
That's why I knew it. Yeah, she would have taken you out, man. Oh,
dude, she would have cleaned me up. And I'm kind of into that as well. but she, Husey introduced me to her, and he goes, oh, Mike goes back to the U.S. Open every year, you know? And I just, the first thing out of my mouth, totally nervous and awkward, I said, have you been to the U.S. Open? And as soon as I said it, I was thinking she beat Serena Williams in the final in 2011.
Maybe she forgot that, though.
Oh, dude. But she was like, I've been a few times. You know, she's totally cool about it, but I just felt like such an asshole.
That's like someone coming up to you and say, you know what, that, you know, the gig, do you do, like if you're hosting a night and they say, do you do comedy yourself?
Yeah.
It's kind of
had that.
I get it all the time.
Did you ever want to be a ball person when you were younger, Mike? Or have you done ball peopling?
Is that when you put the condom on your balls?
Yeah.
No, I've never done it. Haven't even tried.
Well, they're not going to use children this year. They're going to use adults, I read in the paper. So there's an opportunity for you at the Open in Melbourne.
Man, maybe I should apply. Like, comedy's not happening. So,
Hey, what an opportunity to stand out on a 55-degree court getting blistered and burnt, breathing in smoke. Yeah. That'd be great.
Hey, a gig's a gig.
Yeah. True.
They tried to do a tournament in Mallorca, and the organizer, I think it was the Ferrari, the guy who owns Ferrari, whatever his name is, and he
probably
decided
Ferrari.
To get
Enzo Ferrari.
Bobby Ferrari, whatever the fuck. He decided to get all like insanely hot models to be the ball girls, and they were just so just like gazelles, just tripping over themselves, and the whole tournament would just became this running joke. That they would all fall flat on their beautiful faces, and the whole crowd was just laughing at these hot idiots. It was amazing. Yeah,
I'm not a that huge was... tennis fan, but now I am. It's not like a great sport.
That was actually Chris Lilly doing a series of characters.
All right, so to Mike now. Right. As a joke, Deal once wanted to send a friend of his a picture of a bird with a human dick attached to it. But no amount of Googling would deliver the goods, so Deal thought he would ask Photoshopper to the stars, Reed Parker. He sent him a message saying, hey, can I ask you a favor? Can you Photoshop a huge dick onto a bird for me? It's for a joke. But when he hit send, he accidentally sent it to his boss at the time, Rob Sitch. Yeah or nah?
Okay. All right. So there's a lot to unpack here. Why exactly a bird with a dick?
It was like something about a pun about cocks. Like just saying cock on cock.
I mean, it's a great pun. So
I mean,
the wordplay has never been thought of before.
Did you not hear any of the tweets that I made before? Because I don't do good tweets, and Josh doesn't want to embarrass himself on this podcast.
So was it a running joke between you and this friend, cock on a cock?
No. It was just like, have you ever got there where you're just adding, you're trying to one-up each other or whatever, and you just keep going on the thread? It was just one of those. And I thought, oh, Reed Parker would love it. You know, he'll be quick onto this. And so I quickly sent him a message. Can you send me a, you know?
So you thought the turnaround would be quick enough for Reed to put a dick on a bird and then get it back to you, and then you could get it into this thread?
Have you not ever asked Reed Parker for a Photoshop? The guy is freaking quick. Although he has become a bit, he's decided to not do, because he's got a son now, it's all PG stuff now. Like he was great with the good jizz stain. Like, he was fantastic. Now it's only Fosdyke that I can decide if I need some sort of cock happening.
How did you send it to Rob Sitch instead? Stitch?
I don't know. Sitch. Yeah. Oh, how dare you? After taking down Chris Lilly, now you're taking down Rob Sitch.
I don't know. You guys and your Lilies and your Dave Tench, you know?
Yeah. I'm sorry. David Tench.
You just told us you played tennis with Hughesy. So,
exactly.
So how did it go to Rob Sitch if you were in a thread with your friend?
It was just one underneath the other with Reed, Rob. I just went, working so quickly.
Okay.
Oh, wait. So you sent the request to Sitch.
So I sent a request saying, hey, man, can you send me a photo of Photoshop of a bird with a cock on it?
Right. And how did Rob Sitch respond?
No, I quickly responded with, sorry, man, wrong person. And he didn't even bother replying because...
Oh, he didn't reply. What was
it's the first message he ever got. Who dis?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say nah.
You're gonna say nah? You are correct. Yeah. That is a false story. Point there for Mike. Yes.
Oh. Is it based in any sort of truth?
No, it's based on a truth of mine, because I went to send a picture of a bird with a human dick on it, and you can't find it on the internet. I searched a long time, and then,
you got a lot of a different type of bird with a dick on it.
No, you know that Dave Gorman Google whack, where it was a whole thing where if you found a Google entry that only had one answer to it, like, and that was his whole show based on that? Well, this was like that. It was like, you cannot find an image of a bird with a human dick.
You'd expect more from the internet, wouldn't you? Like, it's been around a good 20 years now. Someone somewhere has gone,
surely, I thought,
that's the name of a bird as well.
I thought deviant art somewhere, someone's fetish is like,
If you Google human with a bird dick, Adam Rosenbach comes up.
It is tiny.
All right, to deal. In Dave's book, Everything Tastes Better Crumbed, Dave made jokes talking about how bad Subway fast food is. A few months later, he was contacted by Subway saying they read the book and would love for him to be a spokesperson for the company, like the Australian Jared the Subway guy.
There's a running theme in this podcast.
Dave said no, because even though the money was good, he really, really doesn't like Subway sandwiches. Yeah or no? Nah?
I don't. I don't like Subway.
So, step me to start again. What was the point about the... What did he say about Subway? Dave, what did you say about Subway?
In my book, Everything Tastes Better Crumbed, I talk about a lot about takeaway food, but I've never liked Subway sandwiches. I feel they're like an attempt at being healthy. I don't like it. Mm. I don't like the bread. It's too soft.
And it has that weird smell to it. You know, when you walk past a Subway, it's very distinctive. You go, no other bread in the world smells like that.
Yeah, they have a chemical thing that they put that smell out. That's a fake smell, too.
Yeah.
It's a fake smell. Yeah.
God damn you, Subway.
So they approached me, wanted me to be like the Australian Jared before he had got arrested and put in jail for bad stuff.
Were you replacing him?
I was, but also they wanted me to lose a lot of weight, and I said, "Fuck, I'm not going to do it. Fuck off."
So was this before Jared had been outed as being?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it was a long time ago. That book was 20 years ago, probably. So it was a long time ago. But it was good money. It was reasonable money. But I just went, I don't really like Subway.
But you do love money, though. Yeah. Like, I know the number of corporates you do in any given day. So what was it about? So it was the brand. Like, just because Subway is a brand you hated? Or was it the idea of losing weight?
Both. I mean, these days I'd do an ad for Subway, sure. But back then I was a bit more strident.
You had a lot of integrity back then.
Yeah, I was on Triple R, you know. Yeah, we didn't do ads, did we, Adam? You know, we were cool. And the thought of losing weight is just too much to bear. You've got to lose weight. It's like, oh, God. So,
You have just bought bigger pants?
Yeah. And look how much weight. Also, I've got a twin brother who's very skinny. I could just send him along, Gary.
Yeah, Glenn.
Yeah, Dave's turned up. Glenn.
Yeah, exactly. He's the aftershot.
And now he speaks Austrian since he's been...
His voice has changed.
And they had muesli, exclusively muesli.
Yeah, muesli. I'm having muesli.
Now, see, he's been all Chris Lilly now.
Yeah.
No. Dave, I find this really difficult because it sounds like you would have said yes, but you had so much conviction just then when you backed it. So yeah. There's a part of me that feels like, yeah, all right, Triple R back in the day, Dave O'Neill, you know, occasionally walks it on with the Greens badge.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool. I'm going to say that this is true. He said no to the money.
You are incorrect. This is not a true story. Point there for Dave.
Oh, no. My Lord.
I would have done it.
So any truth at all? Anything ever been approached by a health, like Jenny Craig or?
Nah. I've done every ad I've ever been asked to do. I've never said no to any of them. So
yeah. I remember that One Nation one you did.
Yeah, One Nation. Yeah. Liberal Party.
Yeah, it was you and Agro at the things.
Yeah, he played Katie Lang.
All right. Yeah. Now, today then, when Adam was 15, he got to play a game of football on Princess Park Oval. The game was the day before Carlton played a home game on it the day before, and that week it had been raining pretty much non-stop. On the day of the game, it was pissing down, and the centre square was so muddy, the ruckman on Adam's team lost his boot in the middle of the ground and couldn't find it. So he just played the rest of the game in his sneakers. Yeah or nah?
Well, I just finished Adam's book, and I'm trying to... Which was very good, Adam.
Is this
well done.
Paris and Other Disappointments.
Paris and Other Disappointments.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you. And I can't remember that being... So he just couldn't find the boot at all in the mud. This is too muddy.
Well, the book was about a trip he did to Europe, mate.
Yeah.
So
but there was a lot
did
of...
Did you really read it?
Yeah.
Other Disappointments, though.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a fair bit of childhood stuff in your book, though, wasn't there?
There was a lot absolutely. But this particular game we played... So we weren't in the... there's a private school. So once you win your divisions grand final in high school, you go on to play other high schools around the state.
Yeah,
and we weren't the Herald Sun Shield like all the private schools were. We were just like a couple of rungs down.
Yeah.
And we were playing against a team called Kingsbury Tech, which
Kingsbury. I know Kingsbury.
Rough-ass team from out like Keon Park Reservoir way.
Yes.
And a few years before, we'd been in a massive punch-on with them in year 10, and we got banned for a year.
Wow.
And then when we came back the following year, there was a lot of bad blood. We were playing at Princess Park. Like, everyone kind of had a quick look for it. I'm pretty sure one of their players just hit it and threw it over the fence because there's no one at the ground.
Yeah.
So, therefore, that was the end of the boot. We couldn't find it, so he played out the game in his runners.
Wow. Well, that's a good story. What position did you play?
I was centre-half back in my high school team.
Were you tall as a kid, Adam?
There weren't a lot of tall players around, but no, not overly, no. No.
Yep.
Did you get any interest?
Carlton, just a lot of short Italians.
Yeah. Get any interest from the major leagues?
I absolutely and utterly did not. I played footy alongside Scott West, who was one of Footscray's best ever players. Yeah.
Yes, I know.
So when we were playing under 16s, he was playing for Footscray Reserves. That's how good he was.
Wow.
So I did not.
As an American, I have no idea what the fuck anyone has said for the past 5 minutes.
That's just sporting.
This is like Friday Night Lights, Mike.
You've been in Australia longer than I have. Fucking assimilate.
It sounds believe. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's true.
You are incorrect. It's not a true story. It's a fake story. They're all fake stories, guys.
Josh has done it.
I've done
we
it.
Did Look get him. We did get suspended for a year for that punch on.
Yeah, and that it was sounded like, true. Yeah,
it was. That was in Parkville, and there were parents, and everyone was in on it, and it was fucking mayhem.
Oh, did you get a few in? Did you make a?
I wasn't playing that game, but I ran in late and got a couple in.
I also liked when you were doing your lie, Adam, that you just thought I'll throw in some suburb names, and Dave will get misty eyes. Keon Park. I remember
Keon
the nightclub in Keon Park.
What band came out of Keon Park, Adam? Uncanny X-Men, they're from McKeon Park.
Is that right?
Well, Glenroy Keon Park, yeah.
Well, Brian Mannix, the lead singer of Uncanny X-Men, his dad was my primary school principal.
Wow. He'd be proud of Brian.
Well, he would have been when he was more alive.
At the end of the round, the scores are Dave now on 2 points, Dill on 3 points, Mike on 5 points, but out in front on 7 points is Adam Rosenbach's.
Yes.
Do you want a quick Brian Mannix story? I did the Spicks and Specks Christmas show with him 1 year, and he'd been on the show 4 times at least. And he said to me, gee, this guy hosting is really busy, isn't he? And I went, yeah, what do you mean? He goes, oh, he does that Groon transfer. He does this show. And I said, no, that's Will Anderson. And he goes, yeah, Will Anderson. That's what I'm talking about. He didn't even know who Adam Hills was. And he'd been on the show four times.
Hey, the guy from the... He's obviously never bought a stamp.
Yeah, yes. Anyway, go on.
Now, okay, this round is called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about you four. If you know who it is, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. Your point if you get right, a point off if you get wrong. Only round you can lose points. Here we go. Question one. Who, while hosting an awards night, jokingly said one of the winners touched them on the ass and the joke did not go well?
Mike.
Adam.
Yes, Mike.
Dave O'Neill.
Yes, you are correct. A point there for Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, but who was it? Extra point. Who was it?
I thought
it was the AFL player.
No, I thought
it was a politician,
wasn't
it, Dave?
It wasn't a politician.
Oh. No, a very famous person. Very, very famous. Who's recently retired. Do
Rolf Harris.
No, it was Alan Jones.
Alan Jones. Yeah.
He's on Sky News now. He's got a new gig.
Yeah true. Yeah.
Good. It's about time he got a voice.
Got a break.
Next question. Who as a teenager got home drunk at 3 a.m. so their parents just locked them outside where they were eaten by mosquitoes?
Dave.
Adam.
I heard Dave first.
Gee, that Mike then.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Point there for Dave. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Just lock me out completely. It was an effective method. I didn't sneak out for a while after that.
How old were you when you snuck out?
15.
Yeah, wow.
And what were you drinking?
That would have been Zima, which was like a like an alco pop.
So I was
that sounds like a disease you get from mosquitoes.
Yeah. I was big on the Sub Zero.
The Zima virus.
I love a Sub Zero. A bit of purple cordial in
there. That or
to toughen it up.
Or I would get I'd steal 2 bottles of Stone's Green Ginger from the bottom of my mum's pantry.
God.
And if I drank the 2 of them, that was a good night. And I always would take them for a whole year. I'd take them every week. And mum would just restock them, never ask any questions. Just go, well, at least he's drinking really shit, cheap, like Stone's Green Ginger.
And it's got ginger in it,
yeah,
so it's healthy.
It's good for me. I've never got a flu.
Oh, yeah. Well, after that, my old man installed an alarm system. And we lived, on the mean streets of Overland Park in Kansas. And it was more to keep us in than fucking, than anyone outside coming in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Next question. Who was once so addicted to computer games they banned themselves from playing it but would still watch people play games on YouTube?
Adam. Mike.
Yes, Adam.
Dilruk.
Yes, you are correct. Yes.
Yes, it sounds as sad as Dil.
It's very, very true. I have
So did you watch people on Twitch or something?
Not even. This was just before YouTube. Twitch. You get to. This is. They record the screen of them playing, so you don't even see who is playing it. So I can just at least follow the storyline of the game.
So not live?
Not even live, no. I just want to know...
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I just want to know what happened in Arkham Asylum, right? And I have a chipped tooth from playing Mortal Kombat because I was grinding my teeth so much and while playing against my brother and bits of teeth broke out of me. So
wow.
I was like...
Would you have a couple of cans of Monster before you played?
No, man. I'm just bad with slowing down. Hence why I'm sober and I have cheat days.
All right, next question. Whose festival show was once stopped because a man fainted during it?
Mike.
Yes, Mike.
Rosie.
You are correct. Yeah, that was Rosie.
It was.
Fainted?
I remember this story. It was during the stage version of Paris and Other Disappointments, Eurodad. And I was about like 20 minutes in and this guy just like rolled out into the aisle and it hit the ground hard. And then got the lights on and I was like, fucking hell. And then he sort of came to and gave him some water and, walked him out and stuff. It was just like, you're right. And then, said, sorry, that was my dad.
Did you go back into the show? How much did it take out? Because
it took a little bit. I just sort of kept the lights on for a bit and just sort of said to everyone, is everyone okay? We all dealt with that, And they saw him go out and that he was okay. So it wasn't like, an ambulance came in and took him away. But it was fucking weird for a good 5-10 minutes after it.
Yeah, because Cody had to cancel his show. His last night of the festival 1 year because a guy had a seizure during his show. And it was like 10 minutes in. And he was like, that was his last one. He had all his mates there for his last one. And it was like 10 minutes in. They're like, I've got to stop this. This is no good.
Fucking selfish.
Well,
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I remember doing a gig in Belgrave the week after Mooney did it. And a guy had a heart attack when Mooney was on stage and died in the audience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was laughing, though. Laughing. Died laughing.
Yeah. What Dave O'Neill, you've done so many gigs in your lifetime. What's the worst? Has there been a roadblock in the middle of your gig?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
My favorite one is when you got dim sims chucked at you.
Yeah, that was at Deer Park Hotel. That's right. Where I was on stage, me and supporting Husey, and I heard the doors behind me open, which I didn't. You know when you don't even realize there's doors behind the stage?
Yeah.
And this old lady just walked out with two massive plates of mini dim sims on a Friday night in the western suburbs of Melbourne. And I just knew, I went, fuck, take them back. But she kept going, like, just into this throng. And then they just started throwing them at me. And they were bouncing off me.
Did you have a guitar at the time?
I had a guitar, bass guitar, and they were bouncing off the guitar. And all I could hear was one person up the back laughing his head off, Husey.
And you were upset on two levels. At one, that you had dimmies thrown at you, and two, that you weren't catching them.
You're like, this. Yeah.
Don't waste them, you idiots.
Yeah. I thought this would have been different in my fantasies, yeah.
Someone
threw pizza, and it stuck to my leg. I was at the Basin Footy Club. And then after the gig, two people come up. One goes, I wasn't aiming for you. And I'm like, that's not a fucking apology.
Yeah.
And then the president goes, what a fucking waste of pizza. I'm like, not an apology, mate.
Yeah.
when I started, there was a room in the city called Melbourne International Backpackers. I don't know how many of you guys had done it. But next, it was the dunnies were behind. So the male and female dunnies were, you know, to your left and right while you're on stage. But there were also pot plants on either side of the stage. And one bloke was so pissed that while the comic was on, he just walked over to the pot plant and started pissing into the pot plant.
That's fantastic.
I really miss
what
comedy.
A review, yeah.
That's where one of the Nelson twins punched someone when they're on stage. Mm. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Oh, I think there's footage.
All right. No. Yeah, but they didn't know which one it was, so they got off. Okay, so next question. Who is the topic of a published university paper titled The Tyrannies of Distance?
Mike.
Oh, no.
Yes, Mike.
Dill.
No, it's you dipshit. A point off you.
Oh,
yes.
What?
It is.
What?
I googled your name. In 2015, you were interviewed for this university paper about comedy. You and Lawrence Mooney are the two people they talked about. And it's called The Tyrannies of Distance. And you can listen to my... or hear.
You thought, as a relationship advisor, it was the distance between a couple.
Yeah.
You can read Mike Goldstein's thoughts
on comedy from in America and in Australia and in Perth.
Righto.
Yeah.
Wow. And this was a published university
paper. It's really impacted your life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's published that you can read online. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Maybe it was a different Mike Goldstein.
Yeah, it was Mike Goldman from Big Brother, I think.
No, they talk about your festival show in 2015.
Wow. Oh, Tim, it's you.
No one else did. All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
Don't die. The one bit of press
He would have liked if someone fainted in that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of published, who is the inspiration for a term in the Urban Dictionary?
Oh, Dave?
Yes, Dave.
Dill.
Yes, he is. Dill Rooked is in the Urban Dictionary.
What, for doing a deal or?
No, for cock blocking someone who's about to kiss. it was something that was happening on I'm a Celebrity where there was this couple, Charlotte and Ryan, and I didn't know this, oblivious to me, that every time they came close to kissing, I would walk, with the dishes or something like that. So it became a running joke about Dill Rook, cock blocking people. And it actually, when I landed back in Melbourne, this 9-year-old came running up to me going, Dill Rook, which is such a bad look. When you're like, get this child away from me. I don't know what they're on about, please.
Next question.
Wait, so what's the term? What's
Dill Rook.
The
Dill Rook.
Urban Dictionary? Dill Rook.
Dill Rook.
To be Dill Rooked, it means to be cock blocked.
Oh, I'm going to start using it.
Great. I'm kind of proud of that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Next question. Who used to ring up the local radio station in year 12 from the school common room?
Dill.
Yes, Dill.
I have to say that's Dave O'Neill.
You are correct. That is Dave O'Neill.
Yeah.
3XY, Dave?
Nah, Triple R. Used to ring up Mark Little, who was in Neighbours. He was a comic.
Yeah.
He used to do a talkback show called What Do You Reckon? And I used to ring up as a character called Danger Man. And we had a red phone opposite the Year 12 common room. And it was good times. That was my comedy career started.
O'Neill, you pointed this out to me yesterday about how so many of us have this story.
Because you used to ring up Hamish and Andy, didn't you?
I rang them up once, right, and it was literally like before I'd started doing comedy, but I had to crouch under my accounting desk so that my boss wouldn't see me. So when you hear me, it's very like low and muffled. But also when I talk like now, it's very different to how I talk to mom and dad. My accent changes, you know, becomes, even though I'm speaking English. And on that call, I must have been so nervous and scared that it's just thick as Sri Lankan ever sounded on tape.
Because I listened to it yesterday, Dil. I don't think you sound that Sri Lankan. I did laugh how they called you Bill at the start because they were anglicising your name, like
Bill Rook.
Bill Rook, yeah.
You know when you Bill Rook someone.
Yeah, that's when you veg block someone. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I had to worry about the vice principal Pod Gorney coming out and telling me off. So, you know.
But you were saying, Dave, that you used to bring up Mark Little, and then years later, he beat you for a gig.
Oh, did he?
Well, you said you auditioned to be the host of Countdown Revolution.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
And he ended up hosting.
Yes. Yeah, before I started doing stand-up, because I was in a band, one of the producers asked me to audition to be the host of Countdown Revolution.
Which did you audition as you or Danger Man?
No, I didn't. And Mark Little eventually got the gig with Tanya Lacey and Chook, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Chook on his skateboard.
Yeah.
And then they went on strike, remember? So, because Countdown was a very popular show. And then they tried to do it Monday to Friday on the ABC at 6 o'clock or some weird idea. And then, Mark Little went on strike and it all ended badly.
Yeah, because they just got rid of them and said, all right, we don't need you. And then they just played clips without any hosts, I think.
Yeah.
Well played.
This is completely random, but Mark Little's son, Angus, started doing stand-up around about the same time I did.
Yes.
And now he's on Stomp.
He's in Stomp. The tap show.
He's now part of... Yeah,
is that still going? The big,
I don't know if still.
They tour. They tour a lot.
But at least, you know, 3-4 years ago, he was part of the Stomp group.
Oh, wow. Really
How do you know if you're good at Stomp? Like, it's just bashing shit, right?
That's former Garbos, mate. They're Garbos, aren't they? Garbage bins. Now, Mark Little, when I started comedy, and before I was a comedian, he was like a legend in Melbourne, a legendary comic.
He was unfollowable, wasn't he? Isn't that the word of him?
Because they brought him out 1 year as well. Yeah, they brought him out for the festival like only like 5 or 6 years ago. They brought him out and it was like this big thing. Oh, this guy is amazing! Like he as a stand-up, and he came out and he had no material. Just wanted the crowd to yell shit at him. And because it was at the festival club, everyone was like, "No, we just want to watch you do comedy." And he had nothing. He did 10 minutes. Went, "All right, I'm off. I don't." Yeah,
it was one of the. I don't think he does comedy anymore. So that's always a worry. Well, you know when they bring those guys out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
like, what's he doing in UK? Is he host a radio show over there?
No, I don't know what he does. He did Breakfast TV for years. He was like their Kochi, you know what I mean? He was huge.
And Kochi's got heaps of jokes, I've already thought.
But I don't know what he does now, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, next question. Who at age 9 found a porn mag on an aeroplane?
Okay. Adam.
Yes, Adam.
Dill.
No, that was Mike Goldstein. Point off, Adam.
It was not Dave because planes weren't invented.
Where'd you find it, Mike? Did you go into the pilot and in the cockpit?
No. That was the name of the magazine, but it was where they keep the.
The magazine was called the Countess Air?
Yeah, the Countess Air. It was in the where they keep the sick bags in that little magazine.
Oh, one little pouch.
So just
what magazine was it? Was it Hustler or?
I think it was a Penthouse from memory, and then my brother quickly.
How far did you get into it before someone went? You can't be reading a Penthouse on a plane.
My brother stole it off me as soon it was in the seat back in front of me, and then my brother yanked it off me. Nothing. No pun intended. And then put it in his pocket.
And then joined the Mile High Solo Club.
And then I never saw it again. So he ruined it by all accounts.
All right. Next question. Who here once had Marina Pryor in their house?
Adam.
Yes, Adam.
O'Neill.
Yes, he was. Yes, it was.
Yes. In the 70s, my brother was in a band called Firelock. And he put an ad in the local paper for backup singers. He just wanted to meet girls. And Marina Pryor came over to our rumpus room and auditioned. And Trevor, my brother, said, "You can't join the band. You can't sing."
And then she said, "Well, let me belt out Silent Night. I'll prove you wrong."
Well, so the O'Neills, the O'Neills are really good at advice.
Yes, yes.
You can't sing. Don't be in Chopper.
And I asked her about it years later. And she goes, "Yeah, I remember Trevor because I ended up going out with his best friend, Peter the guitarist, for a few months." So, it actually happened.
Well, that's a really interesting surname.
Oh, Peter Zoig. Peter Zoig. Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, it would have been pretty easy for Rosie if he knew it wasn't him. There's no chance that Mike Goldstein and Dil Rook knows who Marina Pryor is.
I was like, Richard Pryor had a daughter here?
This is the first time two Sri Lankans have been on the podcast, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, have you done it with Seren, Mike?
I haven't done it with...
No, I haven't been on with Seren.
On so,
Nazim? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about your bread or whatever? What do you talk about, you guys, when you get together? Cuisine or... Remember when Mum would take that bread?
Who does a better koti?
Cricket? You talk about cricket?
Oh, yeah, kotu. Rosenbachs. I introduced Rosenbachs to a Sri Lanka dish called kotu. And, mate, tell. It was game changer, wasn't it?
It's good?
That's the fucking best. You'd love it, O'Neill.
What is it?
We have to drive to Glen Waverley, though, for a really good one.
What is it? Is it a croissant with a chicken in it, or...?
No. It's like stir-fried roti. So if you imagine instead of noodles, you've got roti, that's the vibe of it.
It's the Sri Lankan kebab. It's the late night walk home pissed meal. It's fucking great.
Yum.
And our final...
It's in my book, Columbo and Other Disappointments.
Our final question for the game. Who here was once in Cleo's Bachelor of the Year list?
Dil!
Yes, Dil.
It is the handsome... Adam Rosenbach.
You are correct, yeah.
Yes.
My God, you know what's so interesting? I genuinely was about to bring it up at the start of this podcast when you mentioned something about Googling wives and stuff. I'm like, hey, Rosie, we've never talked about this. We've been mates for nearly 10 years now.
Yep.
And I've never asked you about the Bachelor experience. So I'm glad I saved it to now. So when did it happen?
2008 or 9, around then.
Okay. And so give us the backstory, because it was a pretty big deal back then.
Yeah, it was when print media existed. And manager put me in it. So, because I was doing a show about being single. So she was like, this would be really good promo
publicity,
for the show.
Yeah.
And so, they just...
It had a photo of you with the champagne bottle or something. Is that what I'm...
That was the show, yeah. And so when we're doing the photo shoot, they were like, oh, mate, everyone's taking their top off. Don't worry. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And so I fucking do that. And then, of course, they didn't use that photo because I was like... They've gone, don't worry about that.
There's been a few comics on the list, and like Rove was on the list, very early, but he didn't take his top off.
Andy Lee? Surely you got beaten by Andy Lee.
Andy Lee would have taken his top off.
I wasn't in the same year, but yes.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Lawrence Leung also didn't take his top off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it Lawrence Leung or Chris Lee doing a character? I just got to clear that up.
At the end of the game, on that note, the scores are Dave O'Neill on 4 points, Duruk Jazz Singer on 5 points, Mike Goldstein on 6 points, but our winner on 8 points is Adam Rosenbach. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, as the winner, Rosie, you get to plug your podcast first, even though everyone's plugged theirs already during the show. But
I've done it.
Junk Time, let's where can people find it?
Yeah, I've got a AFL footy podcast. If you like your footy, if you like your sport, and you like to laugh, check out the Junk Time AFL podcast. I don't know where people find it. Everyone's got their own platform.
Yeah.
It's just wherever you get your podcast, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, if you found this, you can find that.
And also, don't forget Paris and Other Disappointments is still available in bookstores, online, and as an audio book. So wherever you get your audio books, you can get it.
It is a very good book. I was actually talking to a friend of the show, Damien Callan, the other day about how much we both enjoyed reading a book, because he's writing a book at the minute. And
great.
He was reading a bunch of comedians' books for inspiration of what to do.
Horrible process.
I have to admit, I have the audiobook version as well as the iPad, the Kindle version or whatever. I haven't started on either of them, Rosie, but I am still supportive. Like,
I
bought
appreciate
it twice.
Appreciate it. As long as you bought it.
I'm waiting for the movie. I'm waiting for the movie to come out. That'll be good. Yeah.
Oh, can I play Paris?
Mike Goldstein, where can people find you?
At Mike Gstein on Twitter, the Phone Hacks podcast. Get it wherever you get your pods. Real funny. And send me your old penthouses so I can do former glory.
Duruk, Fitbit.
Fitbit pod with my good friend Ben Lomas, where he and I had a bet to lose $100 for 100 kilos for $1,000. And we've had some pretty great guests. We've had every one of you except for Mike Goldstein, who the last time I spoke to said he doesn't have the internet and therefore can't be on the podcast.
Yeah.
What? I mean, I didn't want to bring it up, but what the fuck are you doing here? what a weird way to get caught out. You're lying. You just don't want to talk about fatties. That's your problem.
No, I love talking fatties, yeah. man. It's the best. So yeah, I have internet but, now, and I'm happy to come yeah. on and talk food with you fat dorks.
Awesome. And also my Amazon stand-up special, Bundle of Joy, is on Amazon Prime, but also it's on Audible. So anyone who's got Audible, please check it out. Show us some love there.
Sweet. And Mr. Dave O'Neill.
I'm doing a new podcast with Kitty Flanagan called The Junkies, which is all about snack food.
Yeah. Have you had Fleety on yet?
Or? Yeah, different type of junkie. But anyway, yeah, that's because she loves junk food like me. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Excellent. Hey, if you listen to this the week it comes out, we have one more live stream happening this Saturday at 4:30 with Will Anderson, Gareth Reynolds, and Steph Tisdale is on it, and one more, an unyet-booked guest.
Is that the one where people pay to... Yeah, so people aren't paying to watch this now. I thought that was one of these.
No, it's $10. $10 to pay, okay. Or $50 to get all six, and you can see it cool. up until August 7, and then they disappear forever. So thanks everyone who's been doing that as well, and not too late if you want to get the season pass. Hey, thanks everyone for playing. This has been heaps of fun. See you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Yeah.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.